Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
We like our sports like we like our brew. Fresh and crisp to the last out.
Yeah.
Carl Dukes.
You're not listening.
And Mike Bell.
Give me a freaking break.
Are about to take over the airwaves.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Carl Dukes and Mike Bell.
Well, Atlanta, Carl and Mike are off for the holiday weekend. Wait. Hang on, because we got a lot of fun stuff for you to jump in on over the next 4 hours. John Fricke, the Northern Kia Studios. Oren and Day-Day are here, and we have a ton of stuff. Busy weekend. A lot of college football points. Have mercy. The SEC coaches, some of them need to just shut up. Oh, my God, you're killing the ball club. We'll get into all of that. We got a lot of Falcons talk because we'll get into all the OTAs and where we stand with this whole quarterback thing, because a lot of discussion about how they should handle the quarterbacks here now that apparently Michael Penix will be ready, at least it seems, looks like he's going to be healthy enough to fight for the job. So we'll see how this kind of all plays out. Grant McCauley will be here as the Braves get back home from yet another great, great road trip. You know, really something. So it is Memorial Day weekend, and I always begin Memorial Day weekend, and I will on the shows I do Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, by saying thank you to all the veterans out there. It's heartfelt. I had a number in my family. They were mostly Navy, one Air Force, mostly Navy. My great uncle, and I've got his Purple Heart and the notice that they sent from the Department of War about his passing. Died at D-Day. And so I have that framed on my wall. And for all of you out there, remembrances on this Memorial Day weekend. And I certainly hope everybody stays safe and has a happy weekend. I hope you don't have to, if you're going to use your boat, you don't have to do it on the connector. You could actually, go to a lake and use your boat. That would be, the perfect time to be like, I'm trailing my boat. Why is that guy got a big boat? Oh, that's okay. So we got a lot to get into. It is race weekend as well. And, of course, the big story in racing that is dominating the news. But up here in Indy, whew, it's wackadoodle. I have to tell you about it. We, of course, have Oren and Day-Day back in the Palatial Studios. Gentlemen, how are you?
How you doing, John?
I'm good, John. I'm here and ready to row, bud.
All right. So, Oren, a little bit of help because, obviously – I'm filling in alone on the show here, but alone. I'm with you guys. I don't have that other person sitting to my left here. Can you help me out with the beginning of the normal beginning of a Dukes and Bell show?
We start off every day and every hour with a good old hearty
hey man. Okay, there you go. Thank you very much. That helps. a little bit of support from you guys on that is a good thing here. So, guys, up here in Indianapolis, it is race week, and of course, Sunday's the 500. I've actually never been to the 500, and because I'm working Sunday, I'm not going this year either. I've been to the track number of times. I've been to qualifying. I've been to the golf course and the museum and ridden around the track and this bus and stuff like that. It's quite a place. Have either of you guys ever been to Indy?
No. Unfortunately for me, I've never made that. It is on my bucket list. Mike actually wanted me to go with him this weekend, but it was a tough sell because of the wife. The kids getting out of school this week. We always like to take a vacation right as they get out because of our oldest son now being in high school, and this is one of his one dead weeks. So I've never been up there. Oh?
I've never been up there either. It's funny because when Day-Day wasn't going, we had a little thing we did one day where we said the five places we want to – or five sporting events that we'd like to see live, and I mentioned the Indy 500, and Mike's eye sort of peeked up. He's like, well, Day-Day's not going. You want to come? You want to go? And I was like, I'm out of town next week, so I got to kind of stay around this week with the family because this is my last weekend with them. So, yeah, the same thing, too, where it's family requirements, and Mike kind of gave us that look like, yeah, you guys with wives and kids –
Right. Yeah. So you think about big events in town. And of course, Atlanta's hosted, if you go back to the Olympics and we got the World Cup coming, how many Super Bowls and national title games and, all these major events that we've held, Final Fours and whatnots in the city. And the city absorbs it pretty well because Atlanta's got, you know, 6.5-7 million people. It's built for these gigantic events. Indianapolis, on the other hand, has about 2 million people. So it's about a third of the size, a little less third of the size. It's a big city, but it's just not near Atlanta. And when you get to the 500 guys, this is like, okay, you take, Oren, you would know this because you're an SEC guy. I mean, I'm not saying you're not, Day-Day, but Oren, you're an SEC guy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
So imagine Sanford Stadium totally full to the gills, okay?
That's like 95,000-ish, yes.
Okay. Then add Bryant-Denny Stadium, totally full to the gills.
That's about, if you add those two together, about 200,000.
Now add Neyland Stadium, totally full to the gills.
That's 315,000-16,000 right there.
Now add Truist Park, full to the gills.
And just over 40 or just under 40, so we're about, what, 350 right now? 360?
That would be Indy.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's nuts. You can't move. There's 350,000 people pouring into this town. You know, I mean, a lot of them are local, but, I mean, the amount of the sheer volume of people. It's Bryant-Denny Stadium plus Neyland Stadium plus Sanford Stadium plus Truist Park in one place. It's the traffic is, oh, my God. It's like, yeah, I think I'm going to stay away. I don't know what time you actually have to get there. I've never been to the race. I assume, because the race is like, what, noon, right? I think so. I think it's like noon, right, Eastern time for Green Flag. I think you got to get there by like 4 a.m. I'm dead serious.
Now, do they have like a fan fest area that's central to, you know, near the track to the course, or how does all that?
I haven't been to the race.
Oh, okay. So you don't even okay. I didn't know if you maybe knew how that kind of part worked out.
Well, I mean, but the track itself is in an area called Speedway, which is just kind of you know, west of downtown, and it's not like it's out in the middle of this. It's you're 5 minutes to downtown. I mean, it's right there in the middle of like suburbs and it well. Not even suburbs. It's in town. So anyway, so there's that. And, of course, with the you know, NASCAR and the Coca-Cola 600, and I've seen some people, because I just want to say this up front, a couple of things in regards to Kyle Busch. One is some people had said that they ought to, you know, cancel the Coca-Cola 600. I think that that would be, of course, they're not going to do that. My initial reaction was no. That's the exact opposite thing you want to do right now. You want to use the event, you know, to honor him, and because this shocked all of us. You know, you can hate Kyle Busch all you want, which is another part of this, is that NASCAR loses a villain, and that's not a good thing. Not a good thing for NASCAR, and of course for his poor family. I don't really want to speculate at all as to, because I'm not a doctor, I wasn't there, don't know why he collapsed in the simulator. You know, you can go on and find all these things. I'm not trying to avoid the conversation, but some of the people are taking the conversation and pretending they know exactly. Look, we may never, ever know exactly what happened. I know a lot of people want to know, why does a guy 41 years old in his prime suddenly die like this? You know, suddenly, you know, collapse. Say, you know, the week before he's just talking about having a sinus infection, getting a doctor, and the next thing you know, he's gone. You know, so everybody wants to know exactly what happened here. And unless there was gross malpractice by the doctor and there's going to be, you know, a legal or a civil issue involved in whatever the doctor did, and I don't know that the doctor did anything wrong, by the way, but unless there's going to be some kind of action, legal or civil, against this doctor or somebody else that may have been involved in his death, the odds are we're never going to know. The family may not want you to know. They may just say, no, it's none of your business what happened. And so it's possible that we'll never know exactly what happened to Kyle Busch, and I'm not going to really entertain the speculation here, because I know there's a ton of speculation, runs the gamut of different things, and I'm like, guys, you don't know. I mean, I know you want to get on the X, you want to figure it out, everybody wants to know why this happened, but we don't know, so just please be careful. So if you're going to be coming on the air today at 404-726-0929, for that matter, tomorrow, Sunday, you know, when we talk about the races, Monday, when I'm back on again to talk about the races. And this is going to kind of permeate the entire weekend, obviously, because it's so shocking. Just please be careful that you don't kind of step into an area that you don't know anything about, because it's not only unfair to you, it's unfair to me, it's unfair to the audience, because we don't know. I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, my job is to speculate on certain things. This is not one of them. I can't possibly do that. All right. I'm just letting you know that kind of up front here. You know, as to NASCAR losing Greg Biffle and then losing, Kyle Busch in the space of, less than 6 months. And Kyle Busch, the NASCAR loses a villain. And one of the things that NASCAR was pretty good at was understanding that, well, it's a real sport and it's not, you know, wrestling, no offense to you wrestling fans. One of the things that Vince McMahon recognized early on was you had to puff the villains. Not only did you have to make it more theatrical, better scripts, better settings, better costumes, better characters, and all that kind of good stuff, when you took wrestling and blew it up into what, you know, WWE would eventually become. But he also understood the importance of villains, because you can't have heroes without villains. You know, as you go back to Dale Sr., who was obviously a villain for a long, long time, and then it was like Hulk Hogan right there at the end of his career, last couple of years before he passed, he flipped, and he went from villain to hero. And Kyle Busch and his brother, Kurt, were always villains, and that was kind of good for NASCAR. I mean, he was kind of a jerk, but that isn't necessarily a bad thing. He wants to fight people. It draws eyeballs. It draws attention. People hate him. He takes people out. You know, he's a bad guy on the track. Now, he's also the all-time winningest driver in the history of NASCAR across all three versions of NASCAR. Nobody's won 239 wins or something like that between the three series. So he's, you know, certainly a Hall of Famer. And then suddenly this happens. And people who hated, and believe me, a lot of people hated Kyle Busch. He was probably the most, I'm going to overstate this, one of the most disliked people in all of sports, maybe next to me. So, I mean, you got, he's just not liked by anyone, right? He's got his core of fans, but he's this great villain. He's this larger-than-life figure. So was his brother, larger-than-life figure. Arrogant, brash, unlikable, snotty, arrogant, smashing guitars, punching people, flipping people off, screaming at people. Bad guy, you know? But he played the role really well. And I always wonder how much of it was an act. I do. I only because once he got that reputation, he kind of fed off that reputation a little bit. Because you watch some of the other stuff that's popped up here, some of the interactions, it's really hard to watch if you've seen it, with him and his kids and his wife, and things of that nature. Like, I mean, he seems like a guy that loved his family. And he had two small kids and a wife. To have him go like this is really sad. So, obviously, I think I would hope that given some of the ties between Indy and NASCAR, that Indianapolis does something prior to the 500. We certainly know that NASCAR will have a big thing prior to the Coca-Cola 600. So, it's going to be a tough weekend for racing and tough weekend for the racing community. So we can get into all that here, too, as we get ready for the Braves.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington, Braves are back home, sending Bryce Elder to the mound against Washington, which is all hit, no pitch. So, might be a fun weekend at the ballpark here for a lot of runs scored. Another chance for the Braves to just continue to distance themselves out in the East. What an amazing thing they've done. And here's the thing about the Braves. I'll just leave it at this, and then we'll kind of get into that in the next thing. The Braves are on pace to win 111 games. 111. What's the team record, by the way? 106, I think. And by the way, I don't think they won the World Series that year either. 106, I think, is the record. I'm pretty sure that's it. I think Chipper and those guys were at 106 one year.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.